Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip Monday, the 7th of January. We are, I think it is, 8 days from completing a full year of this podcast without me missing a day. In fact, a couple of days I did two because I forgot something and came back and recorded something else. Right, I'm going to try from today onwards. It's Monday the 6th, and see, I've even got the date wrong on day one. Look at that, Monday the 6th. Useless. Should start again, but I'm not going to. I feel rough again today. See, I'm worse today than I was yesterday. I felt a bit better yesterday, I think, because I knew I was going out for something. Anyway, right. I'm going to try and get a bit of new structure to these pods, because I know there's people who don't like listening to me but do like the bet info, and I know there's people who do enjoy listening to me. And that's it. Those of you who just want the bet info, fuck you. I'm going to do all my advice, stories and nonsense at the start, and bets will always be at the end of the podcast. That will help people like Art, who are trying to track the bets, find them in some sort of manner. And it will help me, obviously, structure it and know what I'm going to be doing. So that is the way it's going to be going forward. So I'll try and stick to it. There's every chance that I don't. But I will talk some waffle for whatever. Well, some days it'll be a minute. Other days it may be half hour. And then any bets, be it football, racing, golf, NFL, whatever, it will be at the end. The Seahawks did beat the Eagles last night, making it 3-3 in the playoffs. I told you a couple of weeks ago I'm good in the playoffs. The game I avoided, the Saints. I said the Saints would win and they didn't, but I didn't have a bet in the game. And for one, I was happy to see Minnesota go through because the 49ers will be pasting them next week, but they may not cover the spread. We'll get to that nearer the day. But I will have a couple of NFL bets, I'm sure, next weekend. But 3-3, very pleased. I've already seen one tweet that three singles and a nice little treble. So well done. I think we also had a couple of horse winners yesterday. As I say, I'm still feeling a bit rough. Right, yesterday, out for, it was billed. We watched a blog, Sam and I, some time back, about the best roast in London. And it was billed as the best roast in London. Always sceptical when they make statements like that. But I said to Sammy, we'll book it for your birthday. And 10 of us went, and it was superb. The Blacklock in Shoreditch. I cannot recommend it highly enough. Blacklock Shoreditch. It's difficult to get a good roast dinner out. As much as we in this country like to think that the good old pub lunch and Sunday roast, generally, if you're honest, they're pretty shite. Difficult thing to cook for a pub and carveries and that, because when you're at home and you have a roast, and no roast ever tastes as good as the ones you do at home, everything's cooked, you rest your meat, whatever, serve it fresh, everything's fresh, cooked how it should be. When you go out, unless you're first in, you know, if you go to a carvery and you get there after an hour, the meat's been sat there for an hour drying out, the veg is all getting soggy and shit under heat lamps. That's an absolute fact. People try and deny it. If you order it in a pub, it's never fresh because they're not cooking every roast dinner fresh. It's not like going to have a steak where they take it out and fry it on the spot. It's, or a bit of fish. They're cooking it at 11 o'clock in the morning, ready for service starting at 12. So if you don't get the first one, anything after that, you're generally eating a load of old shit. That's the facts of it, despite our love for it. Yesterday, total exception to that. It was generally the best roast dinner I've ever had. It was superb. I had the all-in, the big one, which was all the three meats, beef, lamb, pork, plenty of everything, and everything cooked. Every single element was superb. Meat, veg, crackling, potatoes, Yorkshires. It was just excellent, and the staff were superb. Definitely going to go back there. Great place. I'm going back on the old keto for a bit now. Shed a few pounds after Christmas and being out drinking with Suggsy. But it's absolutely superb, honestly. So if you're in that area, Blacklock Shoreditch, or if you live down on the HS1 line, get a train into King's Cross, and it's to St Pancras King's Cross. It's two stops on the tube and about a 3-minute walk. Absolutely superb. Blacklock Shoreditch. Cannot recommend it enough. There you go. See, you don't know what you're going to get with me. Now you're getting restaurant reviews. See, everything. I don't even know what's going to come out half the time, but I'll definitely be revisiting it. Few comments, etc. Read my Talk Sport views yesterday. Texts and a couple of comments. Firstly, the pod is my views. It's my views and my alone. You don't have to agree. I won't ever try and crowd please. Trust me, I will not. I do have a general view that society is in a rapid decline. There's a dumbing down to the extent that I'd say most people are fucking idiots and don't think for themselves. But it's just my opinion. And whilst I may differ in opinion to others, that doesn't mean I can get on with people who have different opinions. It's just an opinion. That, in fact, is a new symptom of the thickness on this fucking planet. That we've gone into this situation where you're not allowed to have a different opinion than anyone else. That with these divides, be it Brexit, Trump, veganism, VAR, whatever it is, if you disagree with somebody, you're the lowest life form. They're right, you're wrong, and can never ever be entertained. Don't be in the same room with them. Absolute nonsense. Grow up and accept that not everyone sees things your way or my way, whatever it is, and that's me included. It's just a fucking shambles, isn't it? And I have one view. We get one life. We get one life, and I watch people waste it. And people close to me, I just watch them wasting their life. Sitting watching shite TV for hours on end, that means fuck all. Walking around shops on Boxing Day. What the fuck's all that about? I wish they were closed. Oh, that's all there is to do. No, there's not. Do things with your family. Go for a walk. Play games. Do stuff with your family, walking around shops, buying shite you don't need because you think you're getting £10 off when next to fucking wheeling rails of shite in. It's just bollocks. Absolute bollocks. Living life through social media. It's a fucking great big world out there. None of it's real. None of that shite is real. I know I'm on Twitter, but all this bollocks on Facebook, none of it is real. It doesn't mean anything. Get out and enjoy life. I was with my nephew. He had 6 hours screen time a day. Apple do that screen time. 6 hours a day. I mean, he sleeps and goes to school. 6 hours a day. Fucking sort it out. I had a right go at my brother. I said, fucking sort that shit out. It's ridiculous. It's not real. None of that is real. Spend time with the people who matter. Do the right things. Where was I? Yeah, anyway. Whatever happens, you get one go. And when I pop my clogs, I will 100% have enjoyed myself, other than being a Spurs fan. Fucking useless. But the reason I come at it links into habits, because humans, we are for the most part stupid. I know we like to think we're not, but me included, we're all a bit fucking stupid, the way we live our lives, the things we do. And we love routine, and we fall into routines. We fall into routines without even thinking about it, or even ever knowing we're doing it. Get up at the same time in the morning, hit the snooze button, drink a cup of tea in the morning. Me, I drink 2 cups of tea every morning. The first thing I do every morning is 2 cups of tea. I have 2 cups of tea, 1 cup of coffee, between sort of whenever I get up, be it 4:30, 6:30, doesn't matter, whatever time I get up, between then and sort of 9, 10 o'clock, 2 cups of tea, cup of coffee. I always used to have my cup of coffee after I'd walk the dog. I've not had a cup of coffee since the dog died, other than out, because that routine all of a sudden got taken away. I used to come in from the dog, give her some food, make myself a coffee. You just get into these, we fall into these routines. Normal people up, cup of tea, out to work, home, dinner at the same time, often eating the same meal week in, week out. Get up, do the washing up, sit in front of TV, ingest a load of fucking bilge off TV, go to bed, get up the next day, repeat. We all do it. I do the same things, day in, day out. From a punting point of view, it's great because it's disciplined and I don't get varied. I don't look at other stuff. I just do the same thing. But from a life point of view, not always the case. Not in any way, shape or form. One thing Sam and I do, we eat differently every week. This is our 28th year together. Fucking hell, get off in a couple of years. We've lived together for 27 and a half of those years. And when we met, we didn't have a lot of money. So we sat down. That first week we moved in together, we've always shared our money. We've never had separate money. We opened a joint bank account. I watch my parents argue about money, so it's not one where I've got mine and she's got hers. We have a joint bank account. We put our money in. And from that first week, one of the things we did, we sat down and we wrote a menu for the week. So we wrote, let's say it was Sunday. We wrote what we were going to have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Right through, we would write the menu for the week. This was before internet shopping and stuff like that. So we'd list what we were going to eat, we'd list the ingredients we needed to do that, and we made sure every week was different. So if we had spag bol, whatever, 1 week roast chicken, the following week they were off. We wouldn't have those, we'd have something different. we'd have another pasta dish. And we do return to our dishes, but we try and eat loads of stuff. No, the internet now is awash, millions and millions of fucking recipes. You could go 365 days a year without having the same meal twice if you put a little bit of effort in. But it has several benefits. We have a laugh when we're doing the menu, because we sit there, been arguing about what to have. No, we don't argue, you know what I mean. Sitting there, oh, I want that, and I want that, or I fancy that, or I don't like that. So we have a laugh when we're doing the menu. How many husbands and wives, you know, just sit and exist alongside each other, don't they? Don't say they don't, because they do. My mum and dad just existed for years, just sat alongside each other. So we have a laugh. That interaction, it's great. I mean, we have lots of laughs, but that's something that every week we do it, and it's good fun. When we go out and shop them, we buy the ingredients needed for that menu, so it stops us just buying a load of shit and junk food and buying something for the sake of it and 2-for-1 offers just because you think you're getting a deal, so it stops us all that. So we don't buy any shit that we don't need or we're not going to use. And it keeps us eating healthily because obviously we're choosing what we eat. We have a look at it first and think, yeah, that we can make that. That looks nice. Everything's freshly made there. So that's a routine that we have. Where was I going with that? I can't even remember myself. I was talking about habits, wasn't I? How to get out of habits and into habits and this, that and the other. And how people do the same thing. Get in, get to work, eat a load of shit, watch a load of shit TV, go to bed, get up, go to work, eat a load of shit. There. Try and change it. So as you get older, particularly now, I'm bearing down 49 this year, 50 next year. You realise, certainly, particularly as I've made reference to my mum dying, which is nearly 20 years ago now, that life's for living. I drank way too much in my 20s and 30s, way too much. I had a social job, drank too much, drunk drove, wrote a car off, drunk, didn't get breathalyzed, did then get done for drink driving. And you realise as the years tick by that what you did in your 20s, you pay for in your 30s, definitely. And I don't drink anything like that now. I don't drink at home. You know, it was a habit I had of drinking. I'd come home. I always used to have Kronenbourg 1664 bottles in the fridge every day. First thing I'd do, get in from work, kick my shoes off, automatically walk to the fridge. Kronenbourg, bottle opener, click it off, slug a beer, then I'd say hello. Did it every day. It was a habit. Once I started doing this, I thought the one thing I'm not going to do is trade drunk. Stop buying Kronenbourg. That's how I stop the habit. Don't buy it. If you haven't got it, you can't eat it or drink it. So that's what I did. So now I never, ever drink at home, ever, unless we're entertaining. If we have people for dinner, I'll get the wine in. If we have a New Year's party or whatever, or open, we like a party around the Open Championship, then I'll do it. But other than that, I never, ever drink at home. I like to have a beer, so if I go out and have a beer, I do have a drink, not one. If I'm going out, I'll have a good few beers, particularly if you're with Suggsy or Shazwad. To be fair, you need beer to get through days with them. Lots of it. As far as old John, Sharon's husband, I think he might walk around with a drip of 5% lager dripping into him permanently, helping him get through the days with the old Wigan barn pot. But when I was working and drinking, I used to bounce out of bed like Zebedee. Now I'm useless the day after drinking. Absolutely useless. I'm hopeless. You know, that day we went out just before Christmas, got up the next morning, I felt like death all day. Horrendous. Because I don't do it. But as I say, it was a habit in my life that I've changed. Yeah, so that's it. And as you sort of move forward, again, as you get older, you realise, I think we, particularly with social media, we think other people's lives are so much better. Oh, Ian wins a load of money there. Life's not all about money. It really isn't. Live it first to the best of your ability. Live it. What, no matter what your budget is, what can you do to live your life and make it better on any particular day? Forget gambling, anything, just life in general. Can you spend more time with your family, more time with your kids? Can you go for walks with your spouse, partner, wife, whatever it may be? What can you do to make your life better? I've had loads of shit in my life that money could never solve. Loads of it. Some of it my own doing and others completely out of my hands. And on these pods, I've always been open. I don't do BS. I share way too much. I go back whenever it was, March last year, vasectomies. I'm talking about my vasectomy. For Christ's sake, who listens to a gambling pod to hear a guy tell you his nuts blew up? But that is the way I am, and I'm having issues now. I'm still mourning the dog. I'm having real trouble with it every day. Can't get it out of my head. You know, sitting there just really upsetting me. But we had one yesterday. As I said, we went to this dinner, 10 in attendance, and the topic of the day was, and Shazwad will get this because I have shared stories about my daughter with her, but the topic of the day was, wait for it, what am I going to be called as a grandparent? I'm 48, I don't want to be a fucking grandparent. But my daughter has announced by text, I hasten to add, done it by text recently, that she is pregnant. Now, I love my daughter to bits, and I don't mention her much on here, because since the age of 15, she has been one monumental nightmare. And there's a couple of you I have shared stories with. I had a day in a casino in Birmingham with Shazwad, where we were talking about this subject. But she's been an absolute nightmare. Cost me tens of thousands of pounds. Multiple life disasters, which I may incorporate this year into pod stories, because if you didn't laugh about it, you would cry. She's now 30 years of age. She moved to Malta a few years back because she went on holiday there. And this is exactly the sort of person she is. Went on holiday to Malta, came home the next week. I'm moving to Malta. I've met a Ukrainian. And I said, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to write novels on the beach. Never written anything in her life. Didn't pass English. Dropped out of school. Dropped out of college. But that's what she was going to do. So, sure enough, I mean, you can't stop them when they get sort of mid-20s. What do you do? So off she went to Malta. And we went out to meet, and some of you may remember, I booked a week out there, go and check she was all right. The Ukrainian that she was madly in love with from the holiday had gone back to Ukraine to see his family, and then wouldn't let him back into Malta, so God knows what he was up to. So by the time we got out to see her, she was now with a German, and he was a complete and utter bellend. Nothing to do with being German, he was just a monumental bellend. He's about 8 years younger than her. And there's no issue with that. I'm 6 years younger than Sam, so nothing, no big deal at all. But he was just a huge, massive prick. Oh, he was horrific. Absolutely fucking hard. It was horrible for me, because I'm not one who can hide my feelings very well and pretend that I like someone. He was an absolute fucking disaster, but he went. And then we had a text pretty much this time last year. I can't remember the exact dates, but sometime back a while. That she was pregnant and coming home to have an abortion. Again, did it by text. Text her mum. Hi, mum, I'm pregnant, going to have an abortion. I was furious because she dragged Sam into it. Sam's desperate to be a grandmother, absolutely desperate. Loves kids, loves babies. The minute she gets some news that somebody's having a baby, she's buying them stuff, knitting them stuff, volunteering for babysitting. So I knew it would be devastating for her. And our daughter put the big drama around it, and it actually ended up Sam taking her to the clinic. It was just fucking horrific. It was a horrific time. I was so angry. I don't want kids, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to be young, free spirit. I don't want kids, blah, blah, blah. So all this was, I don't know when it was. I genuinely can't remember, because I sort of try and wipe it out of my mind. But it was a while back. But certainly within the last 12 months, certainly within the last 18 months, I think, certainly within the last 12 months. And that was some Spanish guy. Didn't even know the German had gone. That was a Spanish guy. And then less than a year later, we get another text. I'm pregnant, Swedish guy, keeping it. And it literally was like that. I'm pregnant, Swedish guy, keeping it. I mean, get your head around that lot. And I've had 15 years of it. Go back 15, when she was 15, I went out to work doing Ascot. It was the Royal Ascot Saturday. And we had three boxes there that I was working on that day. And I'd got up like 6:30 to get over to Ascot, get all set up. And Sam phoned me about 9 o'clock in tears, saying our daughter had... daughter's room was empty, and she'd left a note on the bed that she was a lesbian. And she'd left home, I'm a lesbian, and we wouldn't understand. Honestly, you can't write this shit. Nightmare. So, as it stands, I am this year going to be a grandfather. It's going to be a disaster, because I know that Sam's already booked to go out there in March. I think the baby's June, July. And I pretty much know that Sam will want to move out there probably come July, August, I won't be moving out there. I've told her if she wants to move out there, she can go and live out there and I will fly back and forth, or she can fly back and forth. I'm not going to live in Malta. Oh, no. There we go. Anyway, I'm digressing. The point about that is life is for living and we all have problems. So no matter what anybody comes across, you know, when you're nasty to somebody, think about what might be happening on the other end. You take that fucking guy who's trolling me all the time. When my dog fucking died, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, he's relentless. No fucking thought for what's going on in other people's lives. And that's what upsets me. And people do it all the time. We've got this culture now where people think they can fucking say anything. You have no idea what the guy at the other end is going through. And we don't all share every fucking problem we've got in life. I tend to, because I speak to you guys every day. So I tell you, oh, my dog's dead, or my mum, whatever it may be. But not everybody does. So have a bit of fucking thought. As a person, I genuinely do not give a fuck what people think of me. I don't give a fuck what my views are on my betting. I've got no interest in it whatsoever. I do give a fuck about people having a go at people when you have no idea what's happening the other end. Wankers. Anyway, I'm digressing. So we all have problems. People like to live in these bubbles of bollocks. So today's exercise, going to get there in the end. I don't know how long I've been waffling now, but we'll get there. Today's exercise, as we start on the FTS Changing Your Life modules. Yesterday I got you to write down your betting situations. If you listened yesterday, I set you get a pen out, write things down. Nothing better than writing things down. I know we live in a digital world, but writing things down, it's in your brain. You're writing it, you tend to focus on it, remember it. And I got you to write down why you joined things, what your whys and wherefores are. Right, I'm going to take that to another phase now. Now go over your whole daily routine. Get up and actually write down what you do, what time you get up, why you do it, what you do it, what benefit it has. Obviously, we know people have to go to work and that, but how do you actually spend your day? You'll actually find that pretty much in a day, 7 days a week, you'll do much the same things. There will be variants, but they'll be doing much the same things. Write it down. And then write down next to it whether it's necessary or whether it's bollocks. You can just use those two words, necessary, bollocks. And the idea will be to cut the bollocks bits out and replace them with stuff that's not always necessary, enjoyable, meaningful, fruitful, add something to your life, using time better. So that's today's task. Sit down, write down your daily routines, what you do, why you do it, and then tomorrow onwards, we'll start looking about, in effect, these routines, these things you do, they are habits. There'll be good habits, bad habits, but we'll look at binning the bad habits. I'll talk you through ways you can do it, because a lot of things I do understand people can't do, struggle to change and bin, but it can be done. Anything can be done. I go back, we put men on the fucking moon, for Christ's sake. Liverpool have gone, 20 games, fucking 21 games, only lost 2 points, for fuck's sake. Don't think that things can't be done for that lot to be able to do that. So we can change it. So that's what we're going to be looking at over the course of this month. But you need to identify first where the issues are. So you've got your betting side, which we'll tackle. Let's get now life side. What do you actually do day in, day out? What of it is necessary? What of it is complete and utter bollocks? And I have my views on bollocks. Facebook, bollocks. Watching fucking X Factor, bollocks. Watching, what's that other thing that we were talking about? Love Island, fuck off. It's bollocks. You do not need it in your life, my opinion. Much better ways I can get you to spend your life, much more enjoyable. Crack on. I'll take you out to dinner. I'll take you to restaurants. I'll take you to theatres. I'll take the whole of fucking FTS out if I have to get you snot watching that fucking Love Island shit. Right, bets. Okay, write it down. Write down daily routines, what's necessary, what's bollocks. If you don't like swearing, write necessary, not necessary. Okay, bets. It's very quiet this week, so maintain your discipline. Really isn't much football on. Get people, why can't we have a bet? What about this whitey trading there? There's fuck all on. If you want to have a bet in Namibia or fucking Venezuela, you crack on, leave me out of it. Enjoy life, don't have to have a bet. We are 5 months into a season, just into the fifth month, 4 months complete. We've just tiptoed into the fifth month now. There's fucking cotchals of football to come. 2-3 weeks' time, it'll be full throttle for 3 months by one international break. Non-stop, wall-to-wall football. Calm down, be patient. Anyway, right, football-wise today, first half goal at Juve. So 0-0, 25 minutes, back over 0.5 first half goals, drip it in. If 0-0 at half-time, lay under 2.5, not 1.5, lay under 2.5, or back over 2.5, be a better price than the 1.5 market. and we can trade from there. I do expect goals in that game. Let's hope we can get to 25 minutes 0-0. Not sure we'll get there. And then horses, I've got three for you. 240 at Ayr, Minetti, Win and Place. 315 at Ayr, Bull's Head, Win. And 545 at Wolves, Autumn Splendour, Win and Place. That is it. I hope you like the new beautifully structured pod. They will get better. I'll get better at this. It's one of my vows this year is to make these better. Thank you all for listening. Don't take offence to anything I say. I do genuinely mean everything I say. I say it, I hope. And if anyone, and I mean anyone, and I don't care if you are my bestest fucking friend, calls me fucking grandpa on Twitter, you are blocked. Have a lovely Monday. I'm meeting Suggsy for a business meeting later today. So that's the shit I have to deal with. Enjoy yourselves. I will see you tomorrow morning.